Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Fitness Wellness, Global Schoolwear, School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. We've got a great doubleheader today. Teresa Power, she's the Kids Yoga Day, Kids International Yoga Day founder. She's a best-selling author of the ABCs of Yoga for Kids, Little Mouse Adventure Series. She's been on numerous times. She's returning along with Robin Quinn. She's the creator of Quit Proof Kids. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's a child family relations specialist. Then the sports doctor's in first. Teresa Power, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Bob. I'm so excited to be back. I mean, I'm such a big fan of yours, and I always love chatting with you, with all your listeners.
Yes, and absolutely. I think when you were first on, I don't know how new Kids Yoga Day was. Now, tell us all about you and the International Kids Yoga Day that's coming up. What's the date?
It's Friday, April 9th, so it's coming up
very soon.
And people can still sign up right now. It's a free event. And actually, when I first met you, was my first year, I believe, of International Kids Yoga Day.
We've known
each other a long time. So it was 6 years ago. And I can't believe we're already in our sixth year. And I initially founded this date because I wanted to launch one of my books. You know, I am an author of yoga books for kids and a yoga teacher, and I'm very enthusiastic about yoga. I've been practicing myself for over 37 years. And I love spreading my my knowledge and my enthusiasm of yoga for children to get them started at an early age. So I was launching a book 6 years ago, and I thought, well, I want to launch it on a specific day that has to do with yoga. And so I thought Kids Yoga Day. There was no such thing, so I invented it. And now, here 6 years later, I have over 100,000 kids all around the world practicing yoga on the same day. And it's very, very exciting. So I am...
How many countries, Teresa, are involved now?
Okay, so right now we have 37 countries, and and we have almost 40 states right now. And usually we get all the states participating. So people usually sign up a little bit later as time goes on.
This has been such a crazy year, of course, with everything from A to Z and a half with the virus. So, of course, things are crazy. I've spoken about and included the subject of yoga and various experts for 30 years, give or take a few weeks. Of course, yoga goes back thousands of years. To this day, some of the best athletes in the world include yoga in what they do. Yoga also was one of the explosions of the mind-body phenomenon, which we've talked about for years on the Sports Doctor, the understanding that there's such a connection, and yoga's famous for that. The fact that yoga could be as valuable, this is my commercial for you, Teresa. The fact that yoga could be as beneficial for children, both physically and mentally, really, was an awful lot your idea. And I think it's a terrific one because the ability, you know, yoga to reduce stress have a lot to do with all mental sides of things for children. Who are going through incredible mental challenges. Wherever I talk to people around the world, Teresa, whatever their expertise in coaching or parenting or superstars or whatever it is, the biggest problem everybody's facing is this mental health issues that have had so much to do with COVID. So, you know, the idea, again, that the practice of yoga is just incredibly healthy and is one of our best methods of, again, helping to reduce stress. What's the website for people to find out about the Kids Yoga Day?
Okay, the website is kidsyogaday.com. Very simple. So it's very easy for people to go and find out all about it, or they can just Google Kids Yoga Day and it'll come up. But kidsyogaday.com. And I want to piggyback on what you just said about people right now, especially because of COVID, you know, being under so much just mental stress about it. And my idea is even just 5 minutes of yoga can really help alleviate some of that stress. Just to get up and do some simple yoga poses will really help, you know, ground yourself. And also, you know, we had talked about this before, but the feet are the foundation of your entire body and also of a yoga practice. And I think it's so important for people to be grounded when they're...
Yes, yoga brought into use the actual foot itself in all sorts of different positions, and really of the strengthening of the foot in so many different areas because of its being done barefoot. So it absolutely was something. The key was to make sure that yoga was practiced properly. Technique is such a big deal. Sometimes I would make an analogy over the years in weight training for kids, which is it's got to be done properly. And this is why someone like yourself with all that experience and mixing it in over those decades. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist live from Chicago. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you probably can catch that show I did with Teresa 6 years ago. You go back years, I got back to Reels and Reels, so many topics. So many experts in so many areas. You can listen to whatever you'd like. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an endless array of articles I've written in the various areas of fitness, wellness, the role of the foot, some of the things we're doing with the very exciting new MVP Parent magazine. We have over 30,000 Twitter followers. We publish a lot of great stuff there, information-wise. Plus, I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter as well as LinkedIn. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking with Teresa Power, the inventor of this Kids Yoga Day, which is now like, 30-something countries and hundreds of thousands of kids. And I would think that the schools, where is Kids Yoga Day done? Is it done in 100 different locations? I mean, all these locations, but is schools a focus or park districts? Where are they doing it?
Well, that's a great question because they are doing it around the world at different locations, obviously. And schools are signing up. The way it works is that people can sign up either as a parent and just to sign up. That's how we get our statistics, how many people are participating, right? So a parent could sign up with their children. But if someone wants to do an event, then they sign up as an ambassador. So either they're an ambassador, they're doing it at a school, teachers sign up, and a lot of yoga teachers sign up. And so they...
What do you do the rest of the year with the same organization? Are you still as active? I'm sure you are, between your books and whatever, and this outreach to the area of kids yoga and spreading the word. Is that a year-round deal? It must be.
Oh, it is a year-round deal because we have to, keep on updating the website. And after Kids Yoga Day is over, we also offer people different routines. If you go to kidsyogaday.com, you'll find these routines. We have the spring routine, which is practiced on Kids Yoga Day with kids. We also have a summer routine, a fall yoga routine for them to practice.
If a parent asks, he says, Teresa, I would love my son or daughter, the adolescent, whatever it is, because of what we're dealing with, to be able to incorporate this and what they're doing, could they do something a couple of days a week? Is it once a week? I mean, how can they fit this in comfortably to their life? Are we talking 15 minutes a day? What's in general, what you might recommend to a parent who wants not only themselves, but their kids to be able to include it at home, ground themselves. Great term.
Well, it's to ground themselves, yes. And I would encourage parents and families to do yoga together at least a couple of days a week. I mean, they could do it every day, but at least like 3 to 4 days a week just to do it together. And I maintain even 5 minutes of yoga together can do something. But for the younger kids, the sweet spot is around 20 minutes for younger kids. Let's say even 3 to like 8 years old. That kind of age group, and that's my specialty, although I teach all people of all ages, including adults. But that, just to practice maybe 20 minutes of yoga a couple times a week together as a family would be amazing, because the more you practice it, the better you get at anything, right? And for the older
young
kids...
Athletes.
And whatever you do, whatever you focus on, you are going to get better on if you repeat doing it, so to say. And for, like, older kids that like to have more of a routine, maybe half an hour to 40 minutes, and this is at home, right? I mean, obviously, if they go, when things open up, if you go to a yoga class, it's going to be longer. But at home, you don't want to make it too long so that they get bored, you know, of it. You want to have enough time so they enjoy what they're doing and want to do it again next time.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be enjoyable. But, again, the fact that it is incredibly injury-preventing, when we're talking, whatever your son or daughter's sport is, at whatever level, yoga can help doing the two things that anybody cares about. Number one, can I prevent trouble and injuries? And number two, can I enhance performance, better flexibility, better strength and control of the body, which is something that it's not the only thing that does that, but it absolutely is one of the longest. What's the, you know, the history of yoga, how many thousands of years?
Oh, it's over 5,000 years old, and it's been used for, like, you know, for centuries to help people to get, especially what I think is great for athletes, is it gets their mental concentration, because that really is the thing. Because if you're a trained athlete, you know, and you're in very good shape, but you need that mental training, because that distinguishes.
This is a big topic.
It's huge. I mean, that's
on the sports doctor, yes, is the mental game. You know, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're a coach, whether you're the parent, or whether you're somebody who's just trying to stick with the program and trying to stick with your exercise program or your weight loss program or whatever it happens to be. And the fact is, again, is that the yoga is famous for the mental energy and relaxation and focus and all of these different kinds of things. So this
and
is something
works,
where...
You know- Yeah, speaking of that, Dr. Bob, sorry to interrupt, but I was just thinking that it also trains your eyes, because, you know, your eyes, especially if you're an athlete, you know, you have to have good eyesight for if you're throwing a baseball or tennis or whatever, you know. So yoga helps you focus in a pose, training your eyes on a single spot, which is also important.
Yes, all of these different things, you know, in one regard or another. And again, with the top topic in the world being mental health and these challenges, on the sports doctor, I've said for this whole year that humanity's biggest challenge is going to be, how the heck are we going to get back to normal? You know, how are we going to do that? And the ability to add exercise, you know, one of my contributors to the book, hashtag A Sports Parents, and famous podcaster, the child-adult psychiatrist, her chapter in my book, Dr. Denise McDermott, was called Exercise for Mind Medicine. When we're talking about that kind of connection again. And again, the mind-body connection is a very, very big deal. You know, the world mindfulness, so the ability of getting these kids to be able, or the adults, participate together. So I talk about walking sometimes in that regard, you know, because of the fact that it's something a family could do together. So in the last couple of minutes, tell us more about all the buzz and the excitement around April 9th, and what's exciting you the most, Teresa?
All right, what is really exciting me the most is that if you go and look up hashtag Kids Yoga Day, you know, on the internet, you know, on social media, what excites me is on that day, there's posts about kids all around the world and yoga teachers or school teachers, you know, showing these kids all celebrating their oneness and uniqueness at the same time. So you could be, you know, a school in Georgia could be participating and doing yoga with the kids on that day, as well as, you know, Poland, or like there's participants in Russia.
What an international experience, you know, for these kids and families.
Well,
to be
and
able
it
to
just,
take 5 minutes. Yes, incredible.
Yeah, just 5 minutes. And a lot of, you know, yoga studios will do a longer class, but I just think that it's just so important, just as a reminder, that all kids around the world can do yoga and that they connect with other kids while they're doing it. And it just, to me, is just, it's just something that's so exciting and I'm so proud of that I like started this whole initiative. And you know, if people sign up as an ambassador and plan an event, we have a private Facebook page and they all connect with each other. So I've got yoga teachers connecting with each other and school teachers and coming up with ideas together about how to teach yoga.
Yeah, I'd like to see pediatricians. You know, I would like to see pediatricians in the medical community pay big attention. I'm sure they are already, but increasingly so, again, because of the importance of good health and the idea of being able to reduce stress in our particular society. And as medical facts, I think it's a very, very important aspect of dealing with, you know, whether it's youth sports or youth, by the way, hey, you know, in the last minute or two, how you doing with the time zones, Teresa?
Oh, with the time zones. Okay, well, what we do is we suggest everyone start practicing at 11 a.m., right, no matter what time zone you're in. And then it's like this wave of yoga around the world. But, you know, just different people post all day long from around the world. And for me, just quickly, is I'm doing a Zoom event this year just because of the way things are, right? So I'm doing one at 11 a.m. Pacific time, which is where I am, and then I'm doing one at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So I can kind of try to get kids, you know, participating with me if they want to join my event, although people are all having events. And if you go to kidsyogaday.com and go to the near you, there's a site that says, a page that says near you, you can see all around the world where all these people are participating in events.
You know, you can't think of a time where we could use togetherness in so many ways than this minute, and that with the time that we're in the middle of, and an event like this, you know, whether we're looking at it physically, with everything that it means with yoga and exercise, or the mind, body, mentally, but the idea that you could tune in with like 40 different countries, pretty crazy. Teresa Power, the creator of that, the whole movement, Kids Yoga Day. Teresa, I know, give me fast the website again.
Okay, it's kidsyogaday.com.
Great. KidsYogaDay.com. Teresa, hold on. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Robin Quintine. She's the creator of Quit Proof Kids. She's an author, speaker. She's a child and family relations specialist. She's participating along with me in the exciting MVP Parent Magazine. Robin, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. It's great to talk to you again.
Good. Give us some background on you and the interesting world of Quit Proof Kids.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've got four kids of my own. They're all now young adults. But back in the day when they were growing up, I had a big music and dance studio. And something I saw over and over and over again, and it started with my own daughter when she was about three. She wanted to quit. She wanted to quit going to preschool. And I was like, what is this? What is this quitting thing? And I felt like I was such a bad mom to keep her going when she didn't want to go. And I was really in a conundrum. Do I keep her going? Do I let her quit? What do we do? And then I saw that repeated over and over and over with literally hundreds of parents over the years, more than two decades of having a music and dance school. And I realized this is just a normal course of events, but most people don't know that. And so when they see their kids get discouraged and they want to give up on something, they don't want to torture their kids. So they say, okay, no problem, we'll move on to something else. But what it sets up is not good for the kids. And we just don't know. We would not let that happen if we knew better. We just simply have no idea what's going on.
That's an interesting concept. You know, as you know, we've talked about youth sports in all areas for, gosh, 25 years, give or take a few weeks on the Sports Doctor. And with all the challenges, it's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the overzealous parents, that side of it, the pressure to play, the whose goal is it, and the idea that there's also another way to be looking at this, which is why somebody might be backing out or quitting, might have something to do with that overzealous parent, and then it might not, right?
Sure. I mean, I think both things are totally legitimate, and I think we see them all the time. I think when kids have overzealous parents, they lose the fun, right? It all becomes about the end result and not about the enjoyment of the sport or the process. There's something driving them towards an end result. And on the flip side of that, it is natural and normal to want to quit. And I'm talking especially when kids are really little and parents are just trying to let them figure out, you know, what do you love to do? And they want them to have the experience of trying lots of things. But the danger in that is the kids never have an experience of, I completed something, I achieved a result or an outcome or a goal. So I think it's both. I think it's both things at play for kids.
Yes, you know, it's an interesting analogy. You mentioned you had a music school, a dance school, and the analogy I'm making is whether it's a tennis academy or a figure skating club or gymnastics group, the idea that parent might feel, I want them to continue to do it. Maybe they don't want to do it. They should continue to do it. It's an interesting emotion, whether it's music or whether it's youth sports, when it comes to those kinds of decisions. You know, you authored an article, you know, that our friend Rich Dubin, he is the publisher of Lower Extremity Review and the new quarterly MVP Parent Magazine. And you talk about self-esteem. And again, you talk about the same kind of concepts, how we might be Kylie article, the death of self-esteem, how we're unknowingly setting up our kids to fail at life. And this is what you're getting into, right? That there's got to be some smarter guidelines in order to pay attention to all of these kinds of things that parents are dealing with, with their kids. And the reality of a lot of quitting, whatever it happens to be, right? I mean, that's the reality.
It is the reality. And the reality, when you're a young parent, you just don't necessarily know this stuff because nobody gives you a manual on how to raise kids, right? But what happens when we let our kids quit over and over and over and it becomes kind of a habitual thing is that they really don't develop self-esteem. They begin to think, I'm just not good at anything, because they're little and they have no way of logicking it out. they have no idea that when they say they want to quit and their parent gives in, that there's something getting set up. Kids don't know. Parents don't know. But if parents
What's
could
the
look
website?
Ahead, yeah.
What's the website, Robin, that people find out about all of these topics that I know that you write and speak about?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. It is Quitproof Kids, Q-U-I-T, proofkids.com.
And the feedback from parents, are you still involved in the world of dancing or music?
Oh, I still am. I have a mastermind for a bunch of people that own music studios, and I still teach a little bit because I still love it, and I like to keep my finger in the world of it and, you know, be present to what's going on with parents and kids still. So I'm very interested in that, and it's still a thing. And I think this last year with lockdowns and no school, it's different because kids are not in sports like they have been, and they're not in music and dance like they have been. But those questions about quitting still keep coming up. They're just showing up in different areas in the moment.
It's been a huge, it's amazing, Robin. Whoever I have on the show from anywhere in the world, whether they're a coach, whether they're an author, whether they're a parent, a high-performance athlete, whatever it is, there's not a one of them who hasn't been dealing with exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. The challenge of whether it's kids in school, the challenge of whether it is the team is playing or they're not, or all these things that have been going on, has added to the mental stress times 1,000 and in so many different areas. And the idea that it's got to make things a heck of a lot even more chaotic, because you're really talking about relationships between parents and kids and families to pay attention to some simple things. What are some of the pearls that you have when you're talking about what could be done right and mom and dad should be paying attention to in your world?
Well, that brings up a great question, Bob, because one of the things I've noticed is that certain parents have no problem with keeping their kids in activities and keeping them going, and other parents really struggle. And I've been working for the last year on the whole concept of parenting archetype styles or personality styles. And so for some parents, the whole idea of keeping their kids going is not a problem at all, no matter what we're talking about, school, online school, sports, because they have more of a ruler kind of archetype, a leader kind of archetype, and there are certain things that you must and must not do. And then there are other parents who are much more of like lover, nurturer kinds of parents where they just want their kids to be happy. So I think there's got to be a recognition somewhere in what we are choosing and how that's helping our kids or not helping them. So looking into this and finding out what are the implications if I just let my kid get their own way all the time. And if you've had kids and you've let them have their own way, you know what those implications are. If you are new to parenting, you may or may not know what goes along with those choices. But I think getting informed and getting educated and finding out, like, what is the consequence of what I'm choosing for my child right now?
Yes, well, plus the fact, again, I'll make the same analogy, you know, which is, you know, when a young boy or girl is in music school, then they're serious about what they're doing, like they're in figure skating school or they're in gymnastics school. It's a whole different psychology many times between parents and the kids and coaches. It's a gigantic world. We talk about it all the time. We're talking about it with you. Again, that whole idea of how to enhance self-esteem, you know, not a year goes by that we don't see overzealous coaches, overzealous parenting, ranting and raving. I remember my famous sports psychology, the late Jim Vickery, who shared radio shows with me in the early 90s. And he'd say to parents, number one, don't be a critic, you know, with your young boy or girl. And again, whether they are going to a sports club or they're going to music school and they're playing the piano 5 days a week, or they are, you know, where we would see serious dancing at very young ages. I guess was part of your school also, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think one of the big things I learned was from Carol Dweck, and I don't know if you, I imagine you know who she is. She's an author, and I believe she's a doctor. And she talks about encouraging kids with specific positive feedback. And rather than just saying, oh, you're so good at this, or you're so talented, you're so gifted, it's kids feel a lot of pressure from that, right? That's when the pressure begins, is their parents unknowingly and their coaches unknowingly set this expectation that they must live up to. And I think this is the beginning of the frustration for kids and wanting to quit sometimes because the pressure is just too great.
Well, so I think there's got to be a fine line between that and the word encouragement, you know, positive feedback. You know, there is so much dramatic criticism many times very, very early on when we're talking again about youth sports as an example and how it's become such a gigantic business. You know, like Little League Baseball, Robin, maybe 20 years ago, they woke up one day and they said, holy cow, 40% of the kids don't want to play, they're quitting. What are we doing here? And of course, the famous Little League with the pressure and the ranting, raving parents and whatever, and they had to back off the intensity on that side of it. And that's why I always thought that you walk a very fine line, you know, because on the one hand, you want to be able to encourage this youth athlete in whatever way possible. And on the other hand, you want to be, even at younger ages, paying attention to not backing off and quitting things and being the kinds of examples that you saw so early when you were teaching.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there is a fine line, Bob. I mean, it really is tricky for parents. And, you know, at the music and dance studio, we didn't have a lot of parents putting a lot of pressure because we asked them not to. This was meant to be in the early stages fun, a great way of being social,
great word,
skills.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
great word. Yes, you were an innovator.
Yeah, that was
now.
Our goal.
It's amazing the people I have on in the world of youth sports, really internationally, now paying attention to please include at all levels. You know that it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Let's include how important that is. Again, the famous Jim Vickery said, once a young boy or girl thinks what they're doing is a drill, they'll quit. You know, they might not be interested, and that seems to be such a factor. I was amazed when I saw some of your information. We had you on before a couple times. The fact that, again, the quitting was as prevalent as it was. And again, we're talking with Robin Quintine, and she is the creator of Quit Proof Kids. You're listening to The Sports Doctor. We'll be right back with Robin. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we're talking quit-proof kids and that whole challenging world with Robin Quintine. She's been on the show before, exchanging some great ideas on the challenges. Now, you mentioned you are the parent of, did you say four sons, Robin?
Four kids, three daughters and one poor boy got stuck right in the middle there. Yeah.
Okay, there he goes. Okay, did they play sports?
Uh-huh, they did. Yep, they all played, all except for the youngest played soccer. That was the big sport here where I live out on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State. So they all played that, and then my son played other sports as well, basketball, and he was on the swim team. But, you know, we made sure that we didn't put a bunch of pressure on him. I remember when he was little, though, playing soccer, we really had to keep him going. He wanted to quit any number of times. He didn't so much when he was older, but when he was like 5 or 6, it was kind of a battle. It was a battle between keeping him going and letting him just drop out because he wasn't having fun.
Yeah, it's a challenge I'm seeing with one of my grandsons. Mm-hmm. At almost 10 years old, a very talented young little baseball player. There's been problems and concerns in the family and dynamics, et cetera. G doesn't want to play. He's nervous. He gets sick before he goes. He doesn't want. So the idea of understanding that there must be lots of different. I go back to my friend Jim Vickery and so many mental people we have on the show who talk about you have to be a good listener. Mm-hmm. True?
Really true, right? It's very important to listen to our kids and let them tell us what they need to tell us. It doesn't mean that we need to, you know, drop our commitments and make some big changes, but at least hear them out. And, you know, sitting with my kids, putting my phone down when they were a little bit older, because, you know, that came in later, but literally putting my phone away and just sitting and listening to them, and no matter what they said, acknowledging whatever it was. And then sticking to my commitment, which was, I remember Ava, my youngest, saying, I don't want to go to piano anymore. And we sat down and I said, what's up? And she said, I'm a dancer. And of course, my kids did everything because I had music and dance, right? So they practically lived in a music and dance studio for years. But she sat down and told me that. I listened. And when she was done, I said, thanks for telling me. Grab your backpack. Time for piano lessons. And she rolled her eyes and off we went, you know?
And it worked.
It did work. And part of it for me, Bob, is removing the emotion as a parent. If I'm in an emotional state every time my kid gets emotional, it's not going to go well. Something's going to happen. We're going to quit because I can't be in an emotional state constantly over activities. So knowing in myself, we are committed. My child knows we are committed for the season, for the year, whatever it is. And
you know, because there's a lot of crazy stuff. You know, I've had experts in the area of finances who talk about what a big deal it is financially to have a serious young boy or girl in an athletic or club sports. You know, music's no different, or dance.
Right.
Once we start, that's why I have a chapter in my book, as you know, Robin, called The Prodigy Sports. That's what I wrote about in the magazine with you. Prodigy mm-hmm. sports is the fact that we can tell parents and children and coaches all day, yes, we want you to play other sports. Absolutely, we want to use different parts of the body, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or mm-hmm. other sports, including soccer, where we would mm-hmm. see already at 12, 13 years old, this is all this boy or girl wants to do. So there's lots of dynamics many times that are, you know, tied up with you know, what are the best ways to balance, you know, giving positive feedback, but understanding there's all these pressures, you know, one of them being financially and another one, again, being, you know, when I mentioned my book, again, Hashtag A Sports Parents, I say there's an epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries. And this is when I get in with you, is that they're both physical and mental.
Yeah.
You know, these tremendous pressures to play and to play hurt. I don't care how much Advil you got to take and et cetera, et cetera. It's way, way out of line. And the mental side is a very, very big deal. And that's why I find a lot of your insight valuable.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's tough. It's tough for parents and it's tough for kids, right? And I still come back to, and I know I didn't raise a kid who, you know, went on and played college sports. Tanner had no interest in doing it when he was in college, which is fine. He pursued other things. So I don't have that experience.
Is he playing the piano?
He played bass guitar, actually.
There you go. See? He's probably still
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And, you know, so there's a question for me, Dr. Bob, as we're talking about, you know, well-rounded kids, too. So
yeah,
I sometimes look at kids who just get so immersed in one thing and they're singular focused. And I just think, to what end? Like, at what point does that go away, and what else are they interested in?
I think the term well-rounded, you know, should be in capital letters Couldn't agree more. And the good news is that term is being paid big attention to, along with everything else in the crazy world of youth sports, which is a $20 billion a year business, give or take a few bucks. Tremendous pressures, but there is emphasis on what you exactly said, even though we're still in the middle of overkill in so many areas, in mm-hmm. my opinion. But at least we're aware of it, and I think we're, thanks to people like yourself, I think we're sort of catching up. What do you think?
Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Because at some point, you know, when you look at sports, if somebody gets injured and that was everything they were living for and now they're injured and now they can no longer play. And I know dancers who've been injured. I have a friend who is a professional ballerina and broke her back during an event. You know, that's over. And so what else has she got going on in her life?
And that's another prodigy sport. Bingo.
Yeah.
Some of the
100%.
Best athletes. Mm-hmm. Some of the best athletes I've ever seen over the years, and something that I would recommend to youngsters also, dancing is tremendous body control and strengthening for your whole body. And, you know, some of the best athletes I've ever seen have been dancers and all sorts of different types of dance, whether it's hip-hop or whether it's ballet. But, you know, the idea, again, though, very early attention. Very early, very young, with the growing bodies and the mental challenges, like you're talking right smack in the middle, whether someone's mm-hmm. quitting or they're not quitting or they're not happy or the communication. Mm-hmm. So I guess, again, the communication is in the middle of everything you're talking about with quit-proof kids is mm-hmm. Paying attention to some of these important points, right?
Right, and we haven't even started talking about perfectionism, but, you know, perfectionism is not a great way to live, and yet a lot of kids that are involved in youth sports and dance in particular and musical instruments, they take on the, you know, the identity of being perfectionistic, and it's not great for kids, and it ends up, I watched, talking about dance, ballerinas especially, super hard on themselves, and their parents unknowingly feed that.
Yes. Well, this is the mental side, you know, like we just said, when I said there's an epidemic of overuse injuries, we just said that it's absolutely as big mental, you've given these great examples, that it is. What's the website again that with you, Robin?
It's Quit Proof Kids, Q-U-I-T, Proof Kids.
Okay, yeah, the Quit Proof Kids, .com. But again, I can't emphasize it enough what you're talking about, which is these epidemic of injuries, and they include mental. We ran out of time with Robin Quintin. again, you'll go to quitproofkids.com. We'll have her back. I'll look forward to her contributing to our MVP Parent Magazine. So, Robin, thanks so much for coming back. Look forward to having you again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Always great talking to you.
Yeah, hold on. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctor Minute. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. Welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment. We preview a couple of upcoming shows, answer a few emails, delve into some specifics and various chapters of hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Some great shows coming up. Next week, the creator of Healing Movement Systems, Joe Pinella, the program I follow myself. It's a combination of Qigong and Tai Chi. Great strengthening and flexibility and breathing. Excited to have him back. And then health and wellness coach, Debbie Steinberg, will be joining us. The following week, the creator of the Sand Dune Stepper, Matt Dahl. Matt was a supporter of the Sports Doctor, still is. Go to Instagram, look up Sand Dune Stepper, this incredible piece of equipment that simulates sand and working the foot, working balance and stability. It's unique, and it's fantastic. Then I'm hoping that Dave Garrison, the Hall of Fame martial artist, the weapons expert Dave Garrison will be joining me. That's upcoming next couple of weeks. Let's answer a few emails. You can email me. We still play some of the ones we get in. We mix them around. DRRWile, sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. By the way, everybody, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and you could see what the topic was, who the guest was, listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can check out years worth of articles we did with some of the local newspapers as the Sports Doctor and some great new stuff with Lower Extremity Review and the exciting new MVP Parent Magazine. We have a lot of information published on Twitter at SportsDoc, DOC Radio, all sorts of radio show information. We have the replay from UK Health Radio. And I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter as well as LinkedIn. Authors, doctors, athletes, et cetera. Some emails. Joe, my son plays, he's 12 years old, he plays soccer, he plays at least 4 days a week. You talk a lot about rubber bands and balance. I do, Joe. As a matter of fact, that's one of the topics, one of the chapters in the book, hashtag Sports Parents. I call it the two essential exercises. It's not that it's the only exercise. This is not that it replaces anything, but these are two exercises, exercise concepts, that I don't care what your son or daughter plays, I don't care what their level is, I don't care what their age is. The two concepts are strengthening the feet and ankles, and rubber bands are a great way to do it. And the second concept is work balance. We just talked about the Sand Dune Stepper. It's one of the most creative ways to challenge balance and strengthen the whole body. Rubber band exercises for young children or superstars can really challenge strengthening the feet, ankles, and lower legs. Everybody's very familiar with this. You should know what you're doing. Get some technique feedback with a physical therapist in order to incorporate working all the different complex angles of the foot ankle. Imagine yourself balancing on a mini trampoline. Imagine yourself balancing on tilt boards or some of the balance boards or the BOSU that you see in so many different gyms. Whether we're trying to prevent falling in senior citizens, which we are doing, or we're working with a 12-year-old high-performance figure skater and we want to strengthen the ability to come down, the ability to be stable, then we want to include working balance. And those are some great concepts on why it's so important. Sarah says, can orthotics slow down the development of bunions? You know, Sarah, I believe they can. The bunion deformity, the gradual dislocation of the big toe joints, the bump development on the side of the big toe. In my surgical career, I probably saw a dozen and a half families where grandma in her 60s, early 70s, her daughter in her late 30s or 40s, her daughter early 20s or so, all had bunion development progressing. We started interceding, podiatry has over the years very early with orthotics, proper orthotics to properly control and stabilize the foot early on, even in adolescence. Now we don't have a time machine, so we can't tell, but symptomatically, problem-wise, they found it very, very helpful. Paying attention to shoes and including orthotics, seeing podiatry, because the bunion is not inherited. The foot type that develops it is inherited, and it's very important to pay attention. Here, Phil says, talk about the sand dune. You must have heard the show because Matt Dahl, the creator of the sand dune, is coming on in a couple of weeks. The looks like two shoe boxes size, two shoe boxes and a half size piece of equipment covered. It's a super tight foam that imagine you're barefoot, and you're able to work those toes like you would on the beach, which is incredible strengthening for the foot and ankle itself. And the sand dune initially was used with patients with Parkinson's, people with all sorts of balance concerns and problems, and is also used on some of the best athletes in the world who are looking to strengthen. You know, my great sports medicine mentor, one of the sports therapists, superstars, Bob Guida, talked about so much on the show. Met him in the late 70s, and he was the guy that the John McEnroes and the Walter Paytons and the Jimmy Connors and all these great athletes came to see. He had such regard for the foot, and he's the guy who really paid big attention, whether it was to rubber bands or paying attention to working the feet like a pianist works his hands. So again, take a look at the Sand Dune Stepper on Instagram. All right, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay safe, stay informed, and we'll catch you next week on The Sports Doctor.